Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining us for episode 8 of our GSS Jamaica Industry Hour podcast. I'm Marjorie Straw, Program Director for the GSS Project, and today we'll be focusing on the topic, Tech to the World, Positioning Jamaica's IT Sector for Global Growth. We'll dive in and explore what the current IT landscape is in Jamaica and the opportunities for growth on a global scale. Joining me in the discussion today are my special guests, Adrian Dunkley and Tasty Blackman. Great. Welcome, Adrian. Welcome, Tasty. Very happy to have you on our podcast, the GSS podcast.
Thank you, Marjorie, and good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Hey, Marjorie. Thanks for having us. Hey, Tasty. Great.
All right. Well, let me do a little intro for the benefit of our listeners. Adrian Dunkley he's a member of the Global Services Skills Council and contributes monthly to activities and initiatives that strengthens the skills development framework for the GSSC and for the global services sector. He's also the founder and CEO of Star Apple AI, Jamaica's first data science and AI firm. And in addition, he is the president of the Jamaica Technology and Digital Alliance. Adrian is passionate about using data science and AI to solve problems. He has held many senior level roles across multiple fields throughout his career, including finance, retail, marketing, risk management, and compliance. The constants throughout his professional journey have been his drive for knowledge, collaboration, respect, creativity, and taking action based on data-informed, driven insights, and domain experience. And that's such an exciting abbreviated bio, Adrian, just because of the data side. And you and I know that we've had quite a few exchanges at the GSSC level about the importance of being data-informed and data-driven. So I'll be coming back to you on that. So welcome again. And let me take a minute now to introduce Tasty Blackman, currently serving as a principal consultant for 876 Corporate Services, which specializes in providing business development support, business facilitation services, and corporate training to local and international clients seeking to set up or build out their operations in the Jamaican market. Her expertise spans over 20 years of working in varied industries in both private and public sectors. As a leading business development executive, Tasty has had much success and results in gaining new business opportunities for Jamaican companies. I should also share with our listeners that Tasty is currently serving as a zone manager for our recently launched Technology Innovation District Accelerator project. We call it the TID project for short, which is really a one-year program. Let's frame it as our phase one of what's going to be several phases of a cohort-based program being executed under the GSS project and with the support of JAMPRO to help to build capacity for local tech firms and provide access to business opportunities that will grow the revenue of cohort participants. So again, thank you both for joining us today. Let's get started.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we know that the advent of COVID-19 is almost sounds a little bit dated to say, because COVID somehow I think we've normalized a bit, but with the advent of COVID-19, I think the entire region was kind of hauled into a digitized mode. For a long time, the Caribbean has been struggling, Jamaica included, with really just embracing, digitization in all its forms, and maybe also with embracing the importance of it in just our day-to-day operations. The pandemic definitely hurled everyone into that mode. And since we've been hurled in that mode, thankfully, there is a deeper and stronger recognition that IT, it permeates all aspects of our lives. And then IT on a global level, which I'll be asking Adrian to expand a little bit more on, is becoming a key, all the areas in IT are becoming key skills, key requirements to function effectively in all spheres, in all, whether it be outsourcing or all different types of sectors. And so understanding that and being able to guide our IT firms in terms of the kind of support that we need now globally is going to help hopefully our companies to be able to respond better to the global demands. And so I want to just maybe start with that and then lead on to you, Tasty, to ask Adrian, based on your expertise, tell us just a little bit more about what you're doing through your company and tell us, share with us where you see the trends in IT now in IT now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Again, thanks for having me. Volume's okay?
Volume is fine. Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. So I think I'd say I lucked out specifically because I chose fields that are now, I'd say, in a very, very big hype phase, but they're long-term value adds. So data science and artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. I've been in the fields around 15 years now. And right before the pandemic hit, I decided to launch this AI company locally and to employ Caribbeans to the company and to upskill them, train them in different areas, do as much as I could to keep it in the Caribbean just because of the deficit that we have in place, not just technologically in a sense, but also when it comes to having individuals with the critical skills in these areas, right? I was trying to avoid being dependent on external countries and entities. I wanted to build it locally and then partner externally to reinforce the things that we're working on. And working in corporate entities, working as an entrepreneur, we still see the big thing of we use technology on a day-to-day. We're very okay with it. In my opinion, Jamaicans are very, very good when it comes to picking something up very quickly, no matter the language being used. If you got a child, Jamaican child, you, let's say give them a video game in Japanese, they'll figure it out very quickly.
Yes.
just through trial and error. So it's integrated so, so much in our lives. But when it comes to business, we tend to be more behind other entities and other regions, right, around the world. So that's one of those weird paradoxes that you see, right? And I know there are a lot of different reasons and underlying causalities that result in that. But the fact that we're comfortable with it, really, it's just on us to really push the next generation and the current companies to say, we're using it very, very personally right now. We're using it casually. Let's just apply it to our workload. Mm-hmm. So the big hype now is with large language models like ChatGPT that everybody's using. Mm-hmm. And we have an even bigger advantage now because it's so easy now to tap into AI. So my company has had to build everything from scratch and spend a lot of money on developers and servers and training time. And we can just tap into an API and get years of value out of that. But there are trade-offs. So the trade-offs are we're dependent, again, on a non-regional entity for what they're doing. So we can't propel past them if we're just utilizing what they're using. There are data protection concerns using these models. Mm-hmm. They're very, very new. So the development work has taken years, but we're talking about a model where the core infrastructure of it came about in 2017. Right? Okay. So it's been around 6 years, and it's at this point where you can actually utilize it. Think of that versus a car and how long it took to design a vehicle, an engine, or even there are certain food items that take longer to develop than that. And now we're just casually using it on a day-to-day basis. And we're expanding now into being able to generate videos from text. So it's not even text to talk to it. You can create a video now. You can do all of these wonderful things. Mm-hmm. But it's still important for us to realize that as business owners like Caribbeans, we are still beholden to an external entity. So we have to ensure individuals locally are developing AI. We have AI engineers, data scientists, data engineers locally that are building them for us, because they're not specifically being built with us in mind. Mm-hmm. So because of that, there are going to be certain issues and biases that are going to affect us. So we're kind of going with the flow. So we can definitely benefit from utilizing them. We actually have quite a few experiments running now with actual companies to see the impact it's going to have on us. And not just ROI in terms of money, but also how does it affect the dynamic of the way of work? How does it affect you emotionally when you're talking to ChatGPT more than you're talking to a fellow coworker? And as a child coming out of school, your boss or pretty much your advisor is a robot versus a human being. Are you going to reach a point where you can actually be senior level in an organization when you don't have those quote unquote soft skills, you know, being able to interact with the person? So my concern is we pretty much have this amazing technology available and very few individuals locally that are able to guide us in using it properly. And this is me using it for over a decade, doing a PhD, launching multiple startups that use AI. And I'm still seeing errors where I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't think of that. That's something concerning.
Right. You know, Adrian, that's really interesting, because some of my takeaways right now is how we can use technology, AI included, to drive solutions, to come up with solutions for our national context. So we're not just adopting. And I hear you that we are deficient in that area, that we need to have more persons with those skills. I mean, let me just deal with one myth. I know it's a myth, but I want to hear it from an IT person, because, you know, I'm not the IT person here in the room. And this is this whole myth about AI, you know, replacing humans and you know, like taking over the world. I mean, let's just put it squarely on the table, right? We know that AI drives innovation. We know that there are some jobs in the future that, you know, may be able to be, say, used through an AI, used through artificial intelligence. Just give me your thoughts on that, Adrian. Am I right? Are we, AI is driving innovation, which can result in additional jobs and skills needed for humans. Let me make that distinction. I feel like I'm talking about two species here, AI yeah. and humans. But, you know, what's your take?
So to look around just to make sure I wasn't being, you know, targeted, but it's going to affect a lot of jobs. It's going to replace a lot of jobs. We have a few AI we've been using for 3 years. We actually have AI assistants, developers, and in certain areas, we have complete business lines running the organization that are AI run, robot process automation, but we have a person with monitoring and managing it. And this is about risk mitigation and compliance, right? Because there's still a level of probabilistic nature in AI in general. So it can, as much as you want it to not do something, there's always a possibility that it could do something you don't want it to do, right? So yes, it's gonna replace a lot of jobs. I think estimates are around 30 to 50 million globally, but it should bring in 80. Or more new jobs. Mm-hmm. So there's a net benefit,
right.
But it's happening right now. People are being replaced currently by AI. It's crazy. So, I mean, we've had roles that we needed filled, and we didn't actually fill those specific roles because we got someone internal in the organization who could basically do a dual role, right? Now, the ethics component to us here is, well, we had to raise the salary of that person because they're doing two roles, but technically it's not the same level as work because they're using these tools to minimize the operational day to day. So we're hiring them to think. We're not hiring them to do these repetitive things on a regular basis. But you still have to pay them for the creativity. We're not paying them for answering our phone or typing an email specifically. It's about the value add.
Yeah, Adrian, I know that we're going to have a specific podcast on AI, you know, because, again, there are higher skills that we can work towards. So we really shouldn't get daunted by it. Mm-hmm. Just understand the role that it will play in the future of work and position and prepare ourselves. You know, that's why we have tools like the Career Pathway Framework to try to guide persons on the emerging roles that the GSS has, not just in Jamaica, but some of the emerging roles happening globally. And there's still so much work to be done in our educational systems for that full embracing and recognition of these roles and for the support. But Tasty, I haven't forgotten you, right? You know, I know we could be talking all afternoon on this topic. You know, Minister Hill at the launch underscored the importance of export of services. And I remember him saying, you know, our population is estimated at 3 million and you can't export to 3 million. You need to look beyond our shores. Help me to understand. Give us an overview of the TID Accelerator Program, firstly, and then give me your thoughts on that comment by Minister and how you think the TID Accelerator Program can support our export of services.
Thank you, Marjorie. So the TID Accelerator Project is a one-year cohort-based project where we are working towards recruiting at least 20 local tech digital firms to enroll them in the program, where we will put them through a needs assessment, their companies, to understand what are the gaps, if any, that has been hindering them from really taking full advantage of exporting their services internationally. Once we understand those gaps, we're going to build out a suite of program of activities to build their capacity in various areas, whether by providing them with training, business mentorship, coaching, whether there are licenses that these companies need to participate in the international market that they have not been able to attain, that we can facilitate the attainment of those, help them to facilitate those licenses. And once we have built out their capacities, what we plan to do next is to create avenues to allow them to gain access to international markets, in particular North American and the Caribbean region, where we would have these companies in a state of readiness. And on the other side of the coin, we would have done our work in the international markets so that the TID would understand the needs of the clients that are trying to either outsource their work to a country like Jamaica or would want to partner with a company in Jamaica to get work, tech digital work done outside of their region through our local firm. Once we understand those needs, then we're going to be participating in missions and business matchmaking session where we place these local tech firms who have been upskill enabled in direct contact with qualified leads so that they can either respond to RFPs or pitch their services so that they can ultimately gain contracts or business deals where their services would be exported to generate US revenue for them. So that's how we plan to help these firms under the Technology Innovation District Accelerator Project to export their services. So we're creating a clear pathway that will build their capacities and provide market access, innovation exposure as well, where they can interact and engage with other international tech firms, tech entrepreneurs, accelerators, to learn more about what's the latest and the greatest globally in the industry and forge partnerships and relationships. Yes, Minister Hill indeed spoke about the need for Jamaica to contemplate exporting services beyond our shore because 3,000 persons are just not enough. And he's correct about that. We have done our research and there's a research that this very GSS project undertook prior to the initiation of the TID, where I think it was Avasant did some work. And Avasant did some work and identified that indeed, the North American market and the Caribbean were great opportunity for the outsourcing of tech services to Jamaica, and Jamaica does have an opportunity to supply those needs based on the current state of our market. So we're looking to take our firms to these opportunities so that we can sell beyond the shore of Jamaica, so that the brand Jamaica can become known, just as we've become known for BPO outsourcing services, establish this awareness globally that Jamaica is now a destination for the outsourcing of tech service, build our reputation, build our companies, and build our country to gain access to start exporting more than we're exporting qualified, excellent, good IT tech digital services, like some of what we just heard from Adrian a while ago. And so far, we have already been able to identify several of the companies, and I think Adrian knows quite a bit of them who have applied. We only had 20 spaces available in cohort one, and I think I can say that they're mostly taken now. So really? It's an exciting project. Lots of firms see it as a great opportunity and an enabler to get to build their capacity to gain access to international market. I think they're pretty ready for the engagement that is to come and the opportunities at various tech missions and business-to-business matchmaking making that we will be providing them with. So we are called to take advantage of those markets and grow export services.
Thank you, Tasty. But I want to step back because young firms sometimes in their exuberance, you know, they see an opportunity and let's say they meet the eligibility criteria and they think, oh, great, I have four or five trips planned this year and it's going to be a wild ride, you know, and I can see. Now I see Adrian smiling, but Adrian knows me around the GSSC table. I kind of tell it like it is. So I'm a young firm and I come in and I've applied and I've signed my MOU. I'm going to think, right? You're going to want to know where I am, because how are you going to measure me, Tasty, if you don't know where I'm starting from, correct?
Good question, Marjorie. So the first thing we do once the programs have signed, the firm signed for the MOU and for enrollment in the project, the first thing we engage in is something called an accelerator health check, which is a needs assessment of the firm. That will tell us exactly the level of the maturity of the firm, their business capability, their qualifications to serve in the export market by virtue of the kinds of work they've done in the past,
right,
and the clients that they would have served in the past would give us a good idea of their state of readiness and their gaps that needs to be filled. Once they're enrolled in the program, they are going to be given strict performance criteria. There'll be measurements that their performance and participation in the program will be measured objectively on an ongoing basis. And these KPIs include everything from how the business has been doing with the leads and the opportunities that we have provided them with, the reports back from their coaches and mentors about their ability to take advantage of the knowledge that is being imparted to them and the impact it is having on their business. We need to measure, and we will be measuring those kinds of empirical changes in the business once we have invested the training and the capacity building and the access to market. We are relying on the firms. It is mandatory. It's a part of their MOU, Marjorie. It's important for them to provide us with the reports and the information, because as we see this, it is a project that will have several iterations, and we need to collect evidence, data, information on what we would have learned and the performance of these firms so that we can build a better model for the next iteration around. And we can also develop a good proof of concept to say to others, we know the model work, or we know the model work and we need to tweak the next iteration as we go forward. But we have strict requirements for reporting. We have strict requirements for participating in a health check where we look into your company and determine your gaps and your capabilities. And that information has to be forthcoming. And that sort of participation has to be forthcoming from the firms. We're holding them to it.
It almost sounds as if you're going to have a report card system, you know, and I'm crossing fingers I'll get an A all the way along. But I think that one of the key takeaways from what you said as well is that it's important to have an open mind and to take all the coaching in a constructive light if you're really serious about growing your business, which means also that one has to be prepared to share information. You know, you can't share some information and not the pertinent information if you're really going to maximize, you know, the exposure through the TID. So thank you for that, Tasty. But Adrian, you've operated in global markets. And although you're a young firm, you're not as young as other firms, let me put it that way. What tips would you give? I mean, we do not have to travel to do business. Obviously, the missions are great, and no one can discount the benefit of face-to-face interaction, you know, and meeting for new leads. But what advice could you give to persons, not only in the program, but other persons looking on, maybe they're on the fence, they're not so sure? Mm-hmm. How to scale, how to interact. Sometimes we say international markets, and let's face it, some persons are daunted by that. You know, they're a bit nervous to come out of their comfort zone for that next level, that next step. What would you say? What would you advise?
So I could probably use a very quick story in regards to that. So the first startup I got involved with was around 2011. Friends of mine who got together had this great idea for this tech startup using cryptocurrency. Like, this was 2011. So it failed effectively. Mm-hmm. And the failure, there was a lot of benefit from that to the next one. The next startup I got involved with was actually a US startup. Mm-hmm. So I was directly pushed into dealing with international clients from day one. And it's very quick adoption the situation required. I found that the cultural nuances weren't the biggest issue for me. The biggest thing was understanding they're really no different than us. They may be from a country where it's more advanced technologically, but aside from that, they're customers. They want something, they want it now, and they need to do some level of value. So the base level traditional approaches, I think, are still really important for the persons mm-hmm. that are going to go into the TID. And a big one is, Love Tasty said about the data. The data is really important. So when it comes to sales and it comes to marketing, all these things, if you don't have the data, you have no idea what you're going to be doing. You can't manage the situations. And you end up in those cases where you're running down leads. And okay, so first tip, there's such a thing as a bad customer. There's such a thing as a customer you don't want, because they'll zap all of the life out of you, they'll get as much out of you as possible, and then they'll leave you and there's no benefit. You need customers that will grow your company. So sometimes you just have to let go of a customer. That'll be my first tip. The second tip is regular meetings, having your KPIs in place, having your org structure in place, governance, you know who's responsible for what. And the RACI framework, for instance, has been very useful. Mm-hmm. And there are different approaches, but the idea is who is doing what. If something goes wrong, who is responsible for it? Who's accountable? Who should just know about it just because they're involved? Right. And who should you just be respectful enough to mention things to? Because you deal with a startup, you're a family. I've had a lot of colleagues in startups that have failed. Mm-hmm. Like a lot more than have actually reached a really good point of success. And the ones that haven't failed as yet, they just haven't let go. Sometimes they have to just let go. And it may just mean pivoting. So you're not destroying the company.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Yeah, so for myself, for instance, we were launching now a AI-generated facial skincare consultant. You talk to it and it provides a list of specifications.
Tasty, you and I signing.
I love that.
We're going to test that, Adrian.
That's wonderful. And then it lists out the products based on your budget. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to tap it into, maybe I give it too much away, but it's fine. The idea is to tap pre-packaged skincare goods, but to basically not really disrupt, but put a lot of oomph into the local skincare market. We want this to be locally developed skincare items.
Nice.
I don't want to look old when I'm 50.
So you're catering right? for men too, right? Because yeah, men are paying more attention to their skin now than even we are.
And it wouldn't be something I would say, I know about AI and I'm doing this stuff, but let's do it for skincare. That's not really me, but I'm not the target audience for this. Right? That's very important. I have to take myself away from it. It's a $1 billion market, skincare, and there's not a lot of competition locally,
right?
And you can tap into it. So I think that was really important. It's kind of being humble, being able to say that you're wrong. I don't know if that would be tip two or tip three, and listening to other persons. But not too much, because I've gotten a lot of bad advice from people too, as well. But if you have the data, you can actually confirm if the advice you got was right or wrong. So those are about 2.5 tips.
Now, Adrian, thank you so much for that. Tasty, do you have any tips based on your own experience as well that you'd like to share?
For the firms getting into the accelerator.
Right, yes.
So for the firms getting into the accelerator, I would say to them, listen, take time out before you get started to decide and determine who in the organization you are going to dedicate. And I would suggest you dedicate your senior most person who leads the business, because this is about a business development opportunity in great majority. This person needs to be very knowledgeable, can make decision, and is ready and available to embrace the mentoring, coaching, training, and capacity building before you get into the program. Another tip I would give to the firms seeking to get involved in the program is to look back at who you have served before. Look back at your qualifications to serve, because one of the things that becomes critical when you want to get involved in serving or selling or exporting in the international market is your prior experience or your prior clients that you'd have served and developed a reputation that you can speak to, your track record of offering the service. So just look back at who you've served and look how well you've served them and how that could represent a match for going into the international market. Spend time understanding the international market that you're trying to export in. They have requirements, they have needs. You can't just know that you have a great product here or great service in Jamaica, and that's it. The market has its own requirements and its needs. Get yourself engaged, I would say, as a company in any kind of exposure that puts you in a position of being a thought leader, somebody who can share knowledge, somebody who, you know, gets an audience to hear what's happening, the latest and the greatest. Look at how open your mind when you come to this project, and look at the possibilities of partnerships or collaboration, because we are a smaller destination and we're new to some of what we're going after. I think some of the opportunities that we may see out there, you mentioned earlier, Marjorie, that some of the firms are pretty young and new. Maybe a single firm may not be able to access all these opportunities on their own, but it is perhaps worthy of considering the possibility of partnering with one of your fellow firms in Jamaica that could just bolster what you have to offer, so that we can actually close those leads for those international opportunity. So those are some of my tips that I would offer to the firms that are seeking to enroll in the program.
Thank you so much, Tasty. I have so many takeaways here that I'll share before we close, but perhaps we should pause and see if we have any questions from our listeners. I'm not sure if we do. Oh, here's one. And basically it's, how can a small business effectively compete on a global scale to offer IT services? Well, we really have touched on it a little bit, but Adrian, I'm throwing you back on the spot. Something new, different, you know, that you haven't mentioned. What can you tell a small business? Advise a small business.
Sure. So we're doing that pretty consistently when we go for contracts. We're dealing with entities that are 10 times the size, has been around maybe 5x more years than we have. But the benefit of being in IT, digital technology, in data-hungry services is is not about how big your team is. It's about how effective you are at getting value from the customer. And that could be something as simple as you have a web application that works a little bit faster. And as Caribbeans, as Jamaicans, I think we actually have a really big benefit in terms of this, because we are so used to working with the least amount of raw material or access that it's allowed us to be even more creative.
Yes.
We have more ingenuity. Persons in different markets, they can just press a button and get whatever they want. And I've dealt with many US consultants from the UK and Europe, who say, oh, yeah, we're doing this. We can do it in a week. Okay, yeah, just plug it into this thing that exists that the government provides for free, and the solution is there. Can you pay us? Oh, no, we don't have that. What do you mean you don't have that? I said, oh, but you should have that. I said, well, we don't. We can't build it right now. It's not that easy. So because of the limitations locally, it actually allows us to be better at solving problems.
Okay. Yeah.
So especially the smaller business that I'm seeing some crazy level of innovation locally. A lot of persons that I speak to in different areas think that they're at a disadvantage, but they're not. The big thing is they just aren't able to market that value proposition effectively. So I think marketing is really, really important. And hate to say it, but you can market a crappy product and get consistent revenue. But if you can't market an amazing product, it's not going to be able to sell itself. And it'll just die. So
marketing is key. Yeah. It's key as well. Thank you, Adrian. All right. We'll take maybe another question or two from the audience if we have any. Okay, here's one. How can a business be a part of the TID Accelerator program? How can a business get started? That's clearly you, Tasty. So please go right in, jump right in.
So thank you for that question, Madrin, from your listeners. There is on the GSS website, there is a page on the website with the link that takes you to the application, to the Accelerator Project application form. It's all automated application. Firms are required to put some basic information in that application, which include whether or not your company is registered in Jamaica, valid TCC, the operators of the company, and of course, the firm must be participating or doing business or selling services in one of the following niche: software development, mobile or web app development, fintech or cybersecurity. So the firm must be operating businesses in one of those niche areas to qualify. And of course, digital services management is the other.
Thanks, Tasty. Is there a deadline for the application?
The deadline is April 15th.
Okay, so may have some time, but it's not as long as you think, folks, because Tasty, at the start of our discussions, mentioned that we had quite a few applicants on, and our target is 20, and it sounds like we're very close already to reaching that target. So if you're sending in your applications, you need to do so now. Do we have any more questions from the audience? Going once, twice, all right. Well, I want to just go through, because there's so much that both of you, I really have to thank you for, because this has been really, really very instructive. I want to run through and both of you can add as well some of my takeaways. You know, the first one is really my own personal takeaway and advice to firms, young firms. Stop thinking small, you know. Sometimes as young firms, you think and you limit yourselves because you have a small operation. But you're really as big as you desire, as the vision you have for your firm. And I think sometimes we think that as small firms, we can only operate in a certain space. Programs like the TID and persons like Adrian, and there are many persons out there that you can reach out to. You can DM and say, hey, you know, I'm a small firm. You know you've been in the business a while. Can you give me a tip or two? We need to be doing more of that, where we collaborate and reach out and connect. But certainly Not because you are a young firm or that you are small in size means that you cannot scale. And this is exactly what the TID program is going to coach you on how to do. Adrian mentioned it's important to be discerning with your customers. Okay, not all customers are equal. Some are bad, some are good. You know, it's important to discern. And it's important not to be so emotionally invested that you can't walk away, because a bad customer can cost you if you're not careful, you know, and if you do not have that sort of strength of will to walk away from that. Have your regular meetings, have your KPIs. Why KPIs? Because measurement is important. This is regardless of size. Again, you know, and I know both of you, you know, share my view when I say at times we think that KPIs and measurement and accountability and governance, we relegate those to large corporations, you know, when really what they are good practices to instill right from the beginning, regardless of how you view the size of your operation. Fail forward. And that's my summing of Adrian's, you know, anecdote to us, you know, the story he shared. You can fail. Failing is a part of life. But it's not about failing, because usually failing translates to growth, right, guys? Failing allows you to learn important lessons.
Absolutely.
That you can apply to your next venture. So don't look at failing as the end of the world. Look at failing as, okay, I've learned what not to do or what I can do differently. Pivot when you need to. Adrian, thank you for this. Pivoting when you need to, and knowing when you need to pivot, okay? Choose, this is Tasties, choose who will represent your business wisely. Who is going to be the face of your business? Can that person adequately represent your business, hold the necessary conversations, garner the necessary leads, and also come back and impart the information, the knowledge to the rest of your team so you can build that capacity to grow? That's very important. Building your portfolio. How many times have we said to a client, I've been in this situation, show me your clients, you know, give me a sense of the business you've done, and the person is hesitating, I'll get back to you. You know they're not ready. You have to be in a mode of readiness, and you have to have your portfolio you know, available to you. Do your due diligence. Even before you come in the TID, you need to know what you're getting into. And then right along the way, research your markets, research your clients. What is the vision of your company? How do you want to be perceived globally, nationally? You know, all of these things, having your data, because that's what you fall back on. When you have conversations in the business world today, regardless of how you see yourself, if you cannot speak from a position of evidence, of data, you will not come across as credible as you need to be to the persons that you're trying to engage with, okay? Explore partnering, collaborating. Can I just confess, guys? I have to confess something. This is a long pet peeve of mine, Adrian and Tasty, you have to know. Collaborate. We feel in this region, and I consider myself a regional child, I've operated regionally, that we have the market covered. That the pie is, you know, that we have the whole pie. And we do not realize that until we learn to collaborate and share some information. No, Adrian is my competitor, so I'm not going to speak to him about an opportunity, because somehow by collaborating with Adrian, you know, and Star Apple AI, they're going to take all my business. This is where coaching come in, folks. But there's a big market out there. And believe you me, our entire region cannot take the entire IT, you know, region, IT market. So we have to learn to scale. And if we talk seriously about export of services, part of the approach is through collaboration and partnership to be able to scale, to take advantage of those global markets. So be more open-minded to that and learning how to do that. And then focus on getting and giving value. So you can see, guys, I'm sorry, it's such a long list, all coming, you know, mainly from both of you. Really want to thank you and give you the opportunity for any last comments before we get to closing this really instructive discussion today.
I'd just like to invite local firms to take advantage of this opportunity. I'm excited about it. It is an excellent opportunity for tech firms. It is free of cost. It is an equity-free project that you're embarking on. Mm-hmm. We, as the TID Accelerator, the GSS project, and JAMPRO are vested in your success. We want to build your firms, because it's when we build your firms that we will successfully build a strong export of tech service out of Jamaica. And also in doing so, we are also building a wonderful talent pool to take advantage of some of the new areas of development in IT that Adrian spoke about, that we have to get ready to switch mode in terms of careers and jobs and allow the technology to take over, but provide the human being support behind it to monitor it and mine it properly.
Great. Thank you, Tasty. Adrian, okay. Any last comments?
First one, yes, apply to TID. And the follow-up for that is, opportunity doesn't fall into your lap most times. So it's really important for you to go out there and then take chances. Entrepreneurs are the ones that are driving innovation. Best bang for your buck is giving money to an entrepreneur. It's high risk, but you get one that goes through. That's the person, you know, who's dedicated. So even if you work for a company, can be an entrepreneur. You can support them in developing innovation internally. Just take a risk. It's all about risk taking in the area. And failure is, like I said, Marjorie, fail forward. Failure is just, it's a part of life. It's a temporary state. So just keep going.
Thank you. Well, folks, there you have it. I couldn't have ended on a better note from Tasty and Adrian. Really, again, thank you for coming in and sharing information on the Technology Innovation District and your own experiences in the business world and how we can export better for services. To all our listeners, please share the link to our podcast with your family and friends. Follow us on our various GSS social media pages. Send in your questions. Give us feedback on our podcast at communications_GSS@jamprocorp.com. And tell us, what would you like to hear next? We have monthly podcasts. We want them to resonate and be relevant to you. And so we encourage and invite everyone to do that. Thank you again. Have a wonderful afternoon, everyone. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.